The sound of booted feet striding through the inky blackness beneath Altdorf disturbed the dark brown rat as it nibbled at the wing bone it had wrestled from a pile of dung. The scavenger turned its beady eyes toward the sound, hissing. The vermin cringed from the bright light, and with a squeak, it abandoned its meal and leapt into the filthy channel of reeking brown water. The rat's naked tail writhed behind it as it swam off, into the darkness that was its proper home. Brunner strode along the narrow walkway, a blazing torch held before him. He moved with caution, his armored head turning about, staring at the moldy walls and fetid water that slowly coursed past only inches from his feet. The sewers of Altdorf were ancient, dating back almost to the foundation of the city. They had been designed by dwarves, it was said, as a tribute to Sigmar himself. It was also said that the sewers that served Altdorf were better planned than the streets, as they ran beneath the capital in orderly ranks, whereas the lanes and pathways of the capital wound and crossed one another in maddening disorder. All sorts of strange stories were told about the sewers. It was rumored that an ancient dwarf steam engine hissed and churned in the bowels of the city to flush the filth through the underground streams. But there were darker stories too, tales of ghouls lurking in the tunnels, waiting to prowl the streets while the city slept, and more sleep lorded over the night sky. More gruesome yet, it was said that during the siege of Altdorf by the undead hosts of Vlad von Karstein, entire companies of the living dead had entered the sewers, seeking to enter the city from below, and that some of those deathless monsters still wandered in the dark foulness, doomed to spend eternity there. There were other tales, too, of secret covens of profane cultists living beneath the foundations of Sigmar's faith, whose rites summoned up hideous things from the realm of chaos. But Brunner's mind was not on such fears and fancies. His eyes and ears sought more natural dangers, such as pockets of mephitic vapor that might explode in his torch's flame, and packs of starving rats that might not be too discerning about their next meal, crumbling stonework and archways that waited for a victim before succumbing to the ravages of time and damp. To his mind, these were the adversaries to be feared, not the bogies the foolish and the fearful claimed were in the tunnels. He paused to glance once again at a map, black powder pistol held at a ready. Brunner studied the scrolled pattern of slashes and curves, then stared at the dark openings that yawned away 20 paces to the left, 25 to the right, and still again to the left, at the very limit of his vision. Each of the brickwork archways appeared equally foreboding. A filthy brown stream crawled from the mouth of every one. He made his way forward then, bracing himself, leapt across the foul waters, nimbly landing on the narrow ledge opposite. He leaned his body against the muck-crusted wall to steady himself. Torch in one hand, pistol in the other, the bounty hunter entered the right-hand tunnel. The tunnel that would, in time, worm its way beneath the Imperial Palace itself. 15 eyes opened as the distant light and the unfamiliar sound of booted feet made themselves known. The eyes blinked. A thin membrane snapping over each yellow, pus-hued orb, dulling the unfamiliar, stinging light. A huge bulk undulated through the water, its mass glowing from the phosphorescent filth that sweated from its lumpy, fungus-like hide. Claws clicked against one another, anticipating the rending of flesh. Sensitive nostrils flared, scenting the almost forgotten odor of man. The hulk slithered through the waste, leaving a glowing wake behind it. Ahead of the thing, rats squealed in terror, scampering away from the unnatural haunter of the dark. The creature had lurked within the tunnels below Altdorf for many long years, far longer than the reigns of Karl Franz and his father Emperor Leutpold combined. And in the darkness it hungered. It did not need food. No, indeed, it was well beyond that simple need. Its chaos-ridden flesh preserved and sustained by no worldly meat. But it still felt the pangs of appetite, the needs of hunger. Its horrible, twisted form was not made for the hunt, however. It was far too cumbersome to track down rats and other vermin. Its smell, noise, and glowing warned away all the creatures of the sewers well before its approach. In the last year, it had fed only twice, one on a river stork that had flown into the sewers and got trapped. The other time, it had discovered a number of men loading sacks into a small skiff. They had been too busy to see the peril until it was upon them. Only one of the half-dozen smugglers had escaped. Yet even with the bodies of five men rotting in its gullet, the thing had not been sated. The torchlight was growing brighter. The footsteps were coming nearer. Body quivering with anticipation, the thing submerged itself beneath the brown, filthy water. It did not understand that even with its body beneath the foulness, it left a film of phosphorescence floating on the water to betray its presence. Even so simple a supposition was now beyond the mind that had once composed volumes of learning and lore and had pondered the true nature of the winds of magic. Brunner continued to make his way along the embankment, watching his steps as often as he stared at the leather map. The stones were slick and slimy, caked in the filth that had accumulated over the months since the River Rike last swelled its banks and rushed through the sewers, cleansing them in return for the stream of pollution that befouled the mighty river. The bounty hunter smiled. Even if one of Karl Franz's jailers did know of the secret entrance, he was sure no one would endure the path leading there. His smile faded as a new stench struck him, a sickly odor like rancid milk mixed with spoiled cabbage and poured over a pile of vomit. Even in this labyrinth of nauseating stenches, the smell was distinct and overpowering. Tears formed in his eyes, such was the quality of the reek. Brunner paused to wipe his eyes. The door was not far, at least not according to the map. If it were not, he may have decided to quit the sewer entirely until he could equip himself with a fragrant pomander to out the stench. As it was, there could not be more than 50 yards between him and his goal. He would force his senses to endure the smell for such a short distance. With his gloved hand, Brunner wiped his eyes, then retrieved his torch. As he lifted the brand from the small crack in the wall, which had served him as an emergency sconce, his eyes fell upon the sewage that slowly flowed past the embankment. There was an odd glow about it, a decidedly eerie green luminescence. The bounty hunter cocked the hammer of his pistol and thrust the map through his belt. The monster rose from the waste, its twin mouths uttering a maddening wail, like the mewling of an infant married with the sound of a dying elk. The thing dropped waste and sewage, streams of filth flowing across its massive back, and down its pulpy, shapeless chest. Five groping, slender limbs flailed about its trunk-like body, each tipped by a series of sharp claws, like the mandibles of an ant. A cluster of short stalks writhed between its limbs, each sporting a leprous eye that blinked in fascination at the man. Two gaping mouths yawned where breasts might be found. Were the thing human? The mouths drooled a digestive venom that sizzled and consumed its own slimy hide. They were toothless and pulpy, and seemed to alter shape each time they opened and shut, as though controlled by muscular contractions rather than jaws. The creature was immense, larger than a bear, and rose from the filth on a set of legs as broad and powerful as those of an ogre. The legs were short, stumpy, and loathsomely human in appearance, but they were covered in small pink fibers that fluttered and danced when they emerged from the gangrenous skin of the abomination. Brunner recoiled as the numerous eyes struggled to focus upon him. He raised his weapon, firing at the clustered eyes. The boom and crack of the weapon was almost deafening, the flash of its discharge blinding in the darkness of the sewer. Brunner did not pause to see what effect his shot had had, but began to race from the loathsome thing. He could hear the water sloshing behind him as the tremendous bulk surged through the channel. Brunner dared a look over his shoulder. The chaos spawn was nearly upon him, undulating through the water in a hideous, boneless fashion of an eel. The cluster of eye stalks had been blackened by the pistol shot, a pulpy, fibrous drizzle of yellow pus surrounding the injury. Yet from the base of each ruined stalk, a new eye, the hue of a rotten egg, peered from the gore. And each of the intact eye stalks now acted in concert, fully aware and focused upon the fleeing bounty hunter. Brunner spun around, thrusting his torch toward the oncoming mass. The eye stalks snapped shut before the bright glare, but even as the warrior thought the flame might keep the fiendish mutant at bay, one of the snake-like limbs shot forward, wrapping about his arm. He found himself pulled toward the sickly horror, the strength of the thing nearly pulling his arm from his socket. A second tentacle curled itself about his waist as he grasped the dragon hilt of his sword. The spawn pulled Brunner from the brick edge and held him above the filthy mire of the channel, the jawless mouths of the abomination slavered, opening and closing with a sickly sucking sound, bubbling fluid sizzling from each maw. The bounty hunter's hand worked at the trapped sword, straining against the constricting steel coils of the monstrosity. As the beast wrapped tighter around its prey, the breath was crushed from Brunner's lungs. Dark spots blurred his vision, and the bounty hunter could feel the icy touch of death. Was he going to die here, devoured by some faceless horror in the dark, all his plans unrealized? Were his bones to fester in filth and dung until they were no more? Wrath blazed in his fading vision. With a burst of hate-fueled strength, Brunner's grip upon the blade grew firmer, and he pulled the ancient sword of the von Drakenbergs from its sheath. It was an effort fueled by more than physical strength. It was an effort made possible by the force of will and spirit. And still, the blade only rose a few inches. Yet it was enough. The coil that held arm and sword firm was cut by the sharp steel edge as it crawled from its scabbard. As the cold steel touched chaos-ridden flesh, it carved its way through the substance like a red-hot knife through butter. The coil sizzled and burned, a foul green mist rising from the wound. The steel seemed aflame, glowing a brilliant crimson. The chaos spawn wailed a sound all the more horrible for its kinship to the cry of a mortal man. The coils withdrew and unwound with a speed that set Brunner's body spinning. The bounty hunter crashed to the floor of the sewer, legs landing in the filthy channel, chest crunching into the brick embankment, the breastplate cracking the moldy brickwork. Taking deep breaths to feed his violated lungs, Brunner stood quickly, not allowing his mind to register the many hurts he had suffered. The von Drakenberg sword was held before him, and there was no mistaking the writhing fire that crawled about its blade. The mystical flame cast a hellish glow upon the brown water and the crumbling ceiling above. Brunner let a curse escape his lips, bracing himself for the creature's next attack. And, though the din of its ululating howl still thundered all about him, the ghastly glow of the horror's phosphorescence was receding into the dark. Brunner breathed a sigh of relief, then stared about him, finding the discarded torch resting, by some miracle of chance, upon the far embankment. Leaping across the channel, the bounty hunter retrieved the firebrand, then retraced his steps. He dug the map from his belt, employing the hand that still gripped the sword Drake's Malice. Brunner studied the curious scroll on the map and replaced it in his belt. He was eager to be out of the sewers, for at least the foes he might encounter in the Emperor's dungeons would be human. Trotzel stirred on his pallet of straw and lice. The thin, haggard man wore rags that had once been red and blue, though now their color matched the dirt and grime of the cell. The man's narrow, calculating eyes canvassed the small expanse of the cell. The cold gray stone walls, the bits of bone and rag that littered the floor, the small wooden bowl that served as his slop, and the even smaller bowl that held his daily ration of water. The thief glanced at the heavy oak door with the iron fittings that separated him from the corridor beyond. He was trying to discern sounds and movement from outside. Perhaps one of the gaolers had decided to administer a beating to work off a bout of boredom. A sound to his left roused him from his disconsolate thoughts. Before his stunned eyes, a section of the wall sank inwards, revealing a blank expanse of darkness. Trotzel rose from the floor, taking furtive, uncertain steps toward a strange opening in the wall. He had taken no more than a few steps when a gloved hand reached out from the shadows. Even as the thief recoiled, the fist closed about the neck of his tunic. Uttering no more than a frightened squeal, the thief found himself pulled forward, his head smacking against the stonework. Trotzel moaned and slumped to the floor as the hand released him. Brunner emerged from the opening, casting a satisfied glance at the unconscious man. The prisoner would be insensible for some time, perhaps even hours, long enough to serve the bounty hunter's needs. Looking the man over, a thought formed in Brunner's mind, and a new plan began to form. Turning away, the killer strode to the heavy door, removing a series of small hooks and lead weights from his belt. He expertly assembled the objects, then snaked the slender metal hooks through the small barrel grille set in the face of the door. A few moments of play with the hooks slid the bolt of the door back. Brunner retrieved the hooks, then crouched and began to work at a lock with a slim piece of curled metal. There was a click, and he pulled the door inward, peering into the dimly lit corridor beyond to ensure that no patrol was making its rounds. Then he slunk into the hallway, pulling the door closed behind him and throwing the bolt back into place. Softly, he crept along the stone passages, moving from shadow to shadow. To every side, the corridor stretched away, lit by torches in iron sconces set at 20-foot intervals. More dark hallways intersected with the corridor for as far as his hawk-like eyes could see. Occasionally, a moan or cry of despair would sound from behind one of the iron-bound doors along the walls, but Brunner paid them no heed. The prisoners could not be expected to have any useful information about the dungeons, the quickest path to the torture chambers or halls of interrogation. He could spend days checking every cell, looking for a man whose name and profession he knew, but whose appearance he did not. The sound of jangling keys and booted feet brought him to a halt. Brunner crouched in the nearest and deepest patch of shadow, a slender dagger gripped in each hand. He waited as the sounds gradually drew closer, then watched as a trio of soldiers, each garbed in the red and blue of Altdorf soldiery, with the double-headed imperial eagle upon its livery, strode the hall. Each soldier wore a sword at his hip, and the leader, a man who bore a bright ostrich plume in his steel helm, marking him as a sergeant, carried a massive ring of keys on his belt. Brunner listened for further soldiers, and a grim smile flashed across his face. He slowly set one of the daggers back in its sheath and removed the small crossbow pistol from his belt. Setting the other dagger down on the floor and keeping his eyes on the three guards, the bounty hunter loaded a quarrel into the weapon and cranked the steel string back. Retrieving the dagger from the floor, the bounty hunter aimed his weapon at a guardsman to the left. The guard fell instantly. The sergeant and the others laughed, thinking the man had stumbled, that perhaps he enjoyed a bit too much ale, when they had visited the guards' room. But the sergeant almost instantly uttered a low curse as he saw the blood pooling beneath the fallen trooper. Yet still his thought was of fatigue. Only when he spotted a small steel bolt protruding from the man's neck did he finally understand what had truly happened. And by then it was too late. As the sergeant turned his face to alert the remaining soldier, Brunner lunged from the shadows. The soldier had no time to react, for the first he saw of his attacker was the bounty hunter's dagger sliding across his throat. The sergeant pulled his sword from its sheath, opening his mouth to shout an alarm. But he was too close, and the bounty hunter pitched the dying body of the other soldier into the sergeant, both men falling in a jumble of limbs and steel. At once, Brunner jumped upon the struggling sergeant, crushing his wrist beneath an armored boot. The officer's eyes were wide with alarm, his face ashen, where it was not concealed by thick dark mustaches. Brunner slammed the palm of his free hand over the sergeant's mouth as he began to scream, muffling the sound before it could carry far. He pressed the point of his dagger against the man's cheek, just below the eye. "Stop trying to shout," he hissed. "Tell me what I want to know, and I may let you live." The sergeant's eyes went wide with fear, but the jaws beneath Brunner's grip closed. Brunner removed the dagger and stared into the sergeant's eyes. "There is a man here, a wizard named Nidreg." A look of recognition flared through the guard's terror. Brunner smiled inwardly. "I need to find him." He put a slight degree of weight onto his blade, drawing a bead of blood from the soldier's face. "I want you to tell me how." The sergeant nodded his head.
"They brought him in yesterday."
The man licked at his dry lips.
"He is down in the third level, where they keep all the special prisoners."
The sergeant stared at the bounty hunter, his eyes filled with fear, but slightly narrowed.
"Down this corridor you will find the stairs. Take them down, to the second level. Follow the corridor to a large door with a double-headed eagle upon it. That will bring you to the hallway that leads to the lower level. The wizard is kept in the fourth cell from the third turn to the left on the stairway."
Brunner leaned back, considering the sergeant's words. "You are sure that you've told me what I want to know?" The sergeant nodded hastily, emphatically. "Anything else I should know about? Traps? Guards?" The soldier shook his head, and a slim, cruel smile appeared on the bounty hunter's face. "You know, if you are lying to me, I will be back. I won't kill you for lying to me. No, I won't let you off so lightly." Pallor crept back into the soldier's face. "I'll carve your eyes from your head and cut out your tongue. Then I'll sever the tendons in your arms and legs. There will be pain and agony like you've never known, even in this hellhole. But you will recover, like these poor bastards sometimes do when the torturers have had their fill of them. You'll be a sightless, voiceless sack of meat, not able to see or touch or speak ever again. Just a sack of meat that will beg for death with every breath, but unable to speak that desperate plea." Brunner leaned his face downward, so his visor was now only a few inches from the trembling body of the sergeant. "But perhaps you were confused by my question. Perhaps you would like to amend the directions you gave me." Brunner waited in the dark corridor, watching another three-man patrol pass from view. He had spent a considerable time dragging the bodies of the soldiers back to the cell, and now he was thankful that he had. The guards might notice the traces of blood in the corridor, but he hoped that they would think the marks had been left by some wretched prisoner. It would not do to have the alarm raised when he was so close to his quarry. The cell Nidreg was in was on this very level of the dungeons, not more than a few hundred yards from where Brunner had entered the maze-like halls of darkness and despair. The sergeant had also told the bounty hunter that one of the emperor's torturers might still be there, questioning the arsonist, and that one of the dungeon scribes might be in attendance to record any confession. Brunner had thanked him by killing him cleanly with a quick stab of his dagger in the neck. He crept along the dimly lit halls with slow, deliberate steps toward the cell he had been directed to. As he stole forward, he could hear a harsh voice coming from beyond the door. A shout of pain answered the voice, and with it came the sound of sizzling meat. Brunner smiled. The sergeant had indeed spoken the truth when he had changed his story. The cell door was neither bolted nor shut entirely. It had been left ajar, as much to let the screams reach the nearby cells as to let the fresh air trickle in to offset the smell of burnt flesh. Brunner's gloved hands pushed the heavy door slowly inward, so as not to draw the attention of those within. As the sergeant had said, there were three men in the cell. Brunner could see a thick bear of a man, his naked chest glistening with sweat, his arms corded with ropes of muscle. He was slowly turning long rods of steel in a brazier of coals. At his side, seated upon a stool, was a nondescript man in blue and gold, carefully scribbling down every word spoken within the room. He was dabbing his plumed pen in a small inkpot on a second stool and using a small wooden board as a writing table. The third man was young, naked, and shackled by iron manacles to the rear wall of the cell. Ugly raw wounds marked the man's body, the burns of the heated irons the torturer had set against the prisoner's bare skin. As Brunner watched, the torturer removed another iron from the fire and advanced upon the prisoner, holding the glowing red point before him. The bounty hunter pushed the door again, the loud creak bringing the torturer spinning around. The man's ugly, twisted face took on a look of outrage, a look that was frozen on his brutal features as the bounty hunter's bolt took him through the eye. The torturer toppled, the brand falling from his hand to set a straw on the floor aflame. Brunner pounced upon the scribe as he rose, casting pen and parchment aside. Strange words whispered from the man's mouth, and an ugly light began to gather in the outstretched palm of his hand. Brunner had suspected that there might be a low-level initiate of the Colleges of Magic watching over the magician. Still, the initiate's wizardry had not warned him of the danger that prowled the tunnels and corridors below the Imperial Palace. It would take valuable seconds for the wizard to summon even the feeblest enchantment, seconds the man did not have. Brunner's sword rasped from its sheath, and the slender blade slashed through the clerk's neck, painting the wall a bright crimson. The wizard stood for a moment, as though he might ignore the mortal injury, but then what magic had been summoned faded, and he fell to join the torturer on the cell's dirty floor. The bounty hunter hurried to stomp down the fire with his armored feet. Only then did he meet the jubilant gaze of the young magician hanging from the shackles.
"Thank the gods you've come," Nidrek gasped. "I know that Boshite would not abandon me."
The young murderer watched with some apprehension as the silent rescuer bent to retrieve the scattered pages from the floor.
"I didn't tell them anything," he hastily explained. "I have been loyal. I didn't tell them anything, no matter what they did."
"I can see that," Brunner said, as he collected the pages, scanning a few of them before thrusting them into his belt. He favored the bound murderer with a friendless smile.
"Whatever you did say," he added, drawing a dagger and walking toward the prisoner. "My job remains the same." Nidreg's eyes widened with fright. A last, sniveling plea to spare his life formed on his lips, but it died there, as the bounty hunter slammed a dagger into his heart. Brunner took a step back, waiting for the corpse to become still, and for the dead apprentice's bowels to empty. Then, drawing the large saw-edged knife he had named the headsman from his belt, the bounty hunter advanced once more upon Nidrex's corpse. Trotzel stirred in his cell, groaning as consciousness returned. The ugly bruise on his skull throbbed with pain. He rolled onto his side, then sat up straight, eyes wide with alarm. Lying beside him in the cell were three dead guards. Trotzel's mind tried to puzzle out who had killed the soldiers. Had the opening in the wall been real then? Had he really been struck by some dark figure from the shadows? A fresh thought drove those questions from his mind. Perhaps whoever had killed the guards had also left the door of his cell unbarred. He scrambled to his feet and hurried to the door. Trotzel reached for the heavy oak portal, but no sooner had he reached it than the barrier swung inward. Trotzel retreated from the door and hurried to the body of one of the dead guards, leaning down to take a sword from the man's belt. "I shouldn't touch that," a low, hissing voice snapped. "Not unless you want to stay here." Trotzel turned around, watching as a tall man in armor, wearing a black sallet helm, entered the cell. There was a naked body slung over his shoulder. The thief gasped as he saw that the arms ended in ragged red stumps, and cringed when he saw that the severed hands had been tied around the corpse's neck. "Come here," the icy voice commanded. The thief took a few tenuous steps forward. As he did so, the bounty hunter kicked the door of the cell, closed with his foot. "I'm not going to hurt you unless you force me," he added, ensuring that the threat did not go unnoticed. The thief forced down his apprehension and hurried to the armored figure. "Hold this," Brunner said, dropping Nidreg's body into Trotzel's arms. The thief staggered under the weight, but managed to hold onto the corpse. Brunner strode forward and crouched over the bodies of the dead soldiers.
Who are you?"
Trotzel asked, shifting his body to compensate for the weight of the dead man. Brunner did not look up, but instead removed the sword from the dead sergeant, adding it to the ring of keys he had taken earlier.
"Do you really care?"
the bounty hunter replied. He bent towards the soldier shot with a crossbow and dug the bolt from his wound, removing the sword as well.
"I should think your freedom should be enough to occupy your mind."
"It is,"
Trotzel admitted quickly, eager not to seem ungrateful lest the menacing man leave him behind. He watched as the bounty hunter strode to the rear wall of the cell and placed his hands against two of the stones set in the wall. Once again, the wall sank into darkness.
"Aren't you going to take his sword?"
the thief asked, nodding his head at the unplundered body.
"Two will be enough,"
the bounty hunter declared. He nodded his head to indicate the opening.
"Bring the body here."
"Certainly,"
Trotzel replied, hurrying forward as best he could.
"A friend of yours?"
he asked.
"No,"
Brunner replied, pushing the slim thief through the doorway. The bounty hunter followed Trotzel. A moment later, the wall slid back into place, leaving no trace of killers, thieves, or wizards.
"Oh, yes,"
Trotzel's voice crackled with malicious mirth.
"There are quite a few people who are going to be sorry to see old Trotzel again. You can count on it."
The thief let his words turn to another crackle of laughter. Brunner turned to the little man, uttering still another snarl for the fool to shut his mouth. It would serve to cow the man for perhaps another dozen paces or so, and then the thief's eagerness to plot his revenge upon those who had caused him to be thrown into Karl Franz's dungeons would bring the words tumbling out once more. The bounty hunter paused, glancing at the map in his hands. A few more turns, and he would be back at the place where he had encountered the monster. for the third time since returning to the sewers, in fact. Brunner cast a disgusted glance at Trotzel, and the corpse the little man was carrying over his shoulder.
"I tell you, when I get my hands on Ilsa, it won't be a quick thing,"
the thief cackled, resuming his vengeful plots.
"That little trollop, all for a few crowns reward."
A sickly stench brought Brunner's head about. A smile formed on his face. He turned and spoke to the thief once again.
"Almost there now," he rasped.
"About time," Trotzel groused. "Your friend here isn't exactly weightless, you know."
Brunner watched as the phosphorus patch in the slimy water moved towards them along the channel.
"Ranald's blade, what is that smell?"
Trotzel exclaimed.
"We must be under the privy for the Count of Ostland's ogres."
Brunner faced the thief.
"Can you swim?" he asked.
"What? In that?"
A look of horror crossed Trotzel's face as he stared in the reeking channel.
"We're going to swim through that?"
"Not we. Not we," the bounty hunter explained. "You."
Gloved hands shoved the thief and the corpse he was carrying into the water. The bounty hunter turned away from the floundering man just as the slick of glowing scum surrounded him. Brunner could hear the man's shouts of anger and disgust become high-pitched screams, but he did not dally to watch the chaos spawn devour the man. The creature was quite possibly mindless and would perhaps not remember the man who had injured it mere hours ago. And Brunner had no desire to test his strength against that of the abomination a second time. The bounty hunter looked at the map again, now following it back towards the exit that would take him to the streets of Altdorf. He paused, dropping the keys and swords he had taken from the dungeon guards into the waste-carrying channel. He watched them sink into the reeking mire. Like the bodies of the two men he had removed from the dungeons, they would never be found. Brunner smiled at his planning. He had left every indication that Trotzel and Nidreg had worked together to escape the prison. Whatever question might arise from the escape would be blamed on the wizard's magic, and the blame for Nidreg's escape would fall on the shoulders of whichever magician had examined him and pronounced his powers weak and inconsequential. There would be no suggestion that the wizard had died in the dungeon, nor that his slayer had been an intruder from the sewers. Now there was one last thing to do. Brunner would have to collect the remainder of his reward from the sinister little man with the unpleasant laugh. Skrim Gnawtail peered around the corner of the alleyway. Darkness had settled upon Altdorf, and in the now deserted Fleischerweg, only a handful of street lamps were lit. There was little custom for beef and pork during the long hours of the night, and what foot traffic was still abroad was seeking the taverns, inns, and houses of entertainment scattered throughout the imperial capital. At such an hour, the district of butchers was as lonely as the gardens of Mor. Still, there was always the unlikely chance that a patrol of the city watch might happen by. Skrim would have preferred to end the matter down in the sewers, but there was too much chance that he might be seen. That one of the numerous spies of the other clans and factions of the Skaven might see his encounter with the bounty hunter and wonder what was going on. The Skaven could see the bounty hunter in the lonely alleyway, sitting upon a rickety rain barrel that had long ago ceased to serve its purpose. Except for the lines of sheets and towels strung across the alleyway that were used by the slaughterhouses to sop up blood and entrails, and a few battered crates, the man was alone. Skrim flinched back around the corner, muttering under his breath. His hand began to lift the scarred end of his tail to his mouth, but he dropped the appendage angrily when it touched his wiry whiskers. Why was he feeling so nervous? The Skaven wondered. It was only one man, and once he was attended to, there would be nothing linking Scrim to the late Duke Verletz. The Skaven turned his head and snapped a command at the figures lurking behind him. Brunner stood up as the small cloaked figure stepped into the alley and advanced a few paces, fingering the small crossbow pistol in his hand.
"I have been waiting for hours," he said. "I was starting to think you're not coming."
Menace dripped from Brunner's voice as he continued.
"I was starting to think I'd have to go out and find you."
The cloaked figure answered with another unpleasant, tittering laugh.
"All dead now,"
Scrim cackled.
"All gone but Man-Killer."
The Skaven leader dodged to the wall as six more ratmen scrambled into the narrow lane. They were all lean with filthy, verminous pelts of brown fur clinging to their scarred and malnourished frames. In shape, they were somewhat human, but their hands ended in long claw-like nails and long bare tails snaked from their backs. Their heads were narrow and long, and sported whiskered muzzles and thin, pointed ears. Their mouths had been stitched shut, so that the only sound the creatures could utter was a low hiss. Each clutched a rusty steel blade. Brunner drew back from the oncoming pack of Skaven, and Scrim chittered as he watched the man recoil. Over the centuries, the Skaven had been forgotten by the Empire, and reduced to legendary boogeymen to frighten bad children. It was a misconception the Skaven constantly tried to foster among the lawmakers and learned men of the great imperial houses. If confronted by these mythical creatures, even the bravest warrior could be overcome by a superstitious dread that would delay his actions by dangerous seconds. But there was no such inaction in the human hunter. Brunner fired the bolt from his crossbow, catching the leading Skaven in the chest. It fell, twitching in the alleyway, tripping up those scampering behind it. The bounty hunter drew his sword, but did not rush to meet the remaining foes. Instead, he pointed a blade upwards and slashed it across one of the hanging sheets. A rain of small, glittering objects fell from the ruptured sack, striking the stone paving of the alley and bouncing across the lane. The naked paws of the charging slaves sank into the spiked edges of the caltrops, and they shrieked in pain, several tearing the stitches from their lips in their agonized wails. Brunner had expected some sort of double cross, for anyone as free with his money as his mysterious patron might take it into his head to reclaim what he had spent. But he had expected to confront men, not monsters. Still, he had faced inhuman adversaries before, and no matter what shape they wore, he would meet their challenge. The bounty hunter charged into the injured Skaven, his sword passing through the neck of the closest one, sending its head rolling across the alley. The second Skaven tried to parry the blow, but it overbalanced and fell against the stones, causing more caltrops to sink into its mangy hide. The slave shrieked, but its cry ended in a low rattle as Brunner's sword transfixed its heart. The bounty hunter removed his blade from the twitching corpse, glaring at the other attackers, but the fight was over. The injured ratmen limped away as best they could, back to the hidden entrances to the sewers and the comforting safety of the dark tunnels. A loud snap sounded from the entrance of the alley, and something whizzed past Brunner's face, smacking into the wall beside him. He turned as another snap sounded, and staggered as something struck his breastplate, ricocheting off into the darkness. It had dented the almost indestructible metal. He quickly drew a throwing knife and sent it arching through the darkness to strike the figure at the mouth of the alley. There was a sharp squeal, and something clattered to the cobbles. Brunner strode towards the cloaked figure, watching with some amusement as it tried to tug the knife from where it had caught the garment and pinned it to the wall. The murderous creature had been lucky. The knife had missed its arm. Brunner stooped and removed the strange-looking weapon the Skaven had fired at him. It was similar in some ways to a crossbow, but it had a box-like device set atop the string. The steel string itself had a mechanism that instantly pulled it back after firing. He paused to admire the weapon for a moment, then turned his icy eyes on the struggling creature.
"I suppose you didn't bring me the rest of my money," he sighed.
The Skaven suddenly slipped free and dropped down out of the pinned cloak. Skrim scrambled from the alley on all fours, like the giant rat he resembled. Brunner muttered a low curse, letting the unfamiliar crossbow fall back to the street and grasping for one of his own throwing knives. He had an instant to watch the long, naked tail and gray-furred backside scrambled out of sight around a corner. He snarled again, giving chase, turning the corner just in time to see the tip of the fleshy tail slip into a narrow sewer drain.
"No," the bounty hunter said, after gazing at the dark drain.
He sheathed his knife and walked away.
"I'm not going back down there, unless I'm sure I'm getting paid."
Still watching for any sign of lingering ambushers, he strode back to the alleyway to reclaim the Skaven's abandoned weapon. The exotic weapon would be compensation for the money his treacherous, inhuman employer had failed to pay out. Skrim was muttering to himself as he sloshed his way through the murky tunnel. He nibbled at the tip of his tail, savoring the taste of his own blood. Flecks of foam fell from the corners of his mouth, splashing against the gray fur of his chest. The human would pay, the Skaven swore to himself. The filthy man-creature would suffer untold agony, have the flesh gnawed from his bones by Skrim's own fangs. He would spare no expense to have his revenge. He would set the finest assassins in the Under Empire upon that treacherous cur. Skrim stepped short, a hunted look entering his eyes. Yes, he could set the nastiest, sneakiest, stealthiest, most skilled assassins in the old world on the bounty hunter's trail. There were enough warp tokens in his many caches of wealth to afford them. But could he really be certain that the killers would stab first and ask questions later? What might they be able to learn from this man-killer before they slew him? For that matter, what might that dolt Nidreg have told him before he was killed? Skrim's head whipped about, his narrow eyes darting at every shadow, trying to see what they might conceal. He was in the same bind. He could not set one of his own kind after the bounty killer. He'd have to use another human for the job. Yet even then, there was no surety of killing the man-killer. He had a decidedly Skaven-like penchant for distrust and cunning. Skrim had to admit that it was an almost admirable quality. Perhaps he was being hasty in his thirst for blood. After all, those cowardly slaves were more to blame than the man-creature. If they had not been so easily frightened, they might have been able to better the human. It took Skrim quite some time to convince himself, but at last he decided that the escaped slaves were the cause of his humiliation and near-death experience. He'd see them skinned alive for causing such anguish. As for the man-creature, he seemed to hold no loyalty beyond his need for the yellow metal all the humans lusted after. Perhaps he might be of use at some later time. Enough gold, and perhaps he might even forget about their unfortunate misunderstanding. Skrim's eyes glistened in the darkness as his devious mind began to hatch new plots and intrigues, plans in which a human bounty hunter was a rather preeminent player.